We'll get to our creation moment. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the time that we set aside. And I just can't imagine that there are those out there that have never experienced this, or maybe they have and they let it go sometimes and don't come to church at times. And it's just such a great build up for the week. It helps so much to have this time to let you speak to us and let not only through the scriptures but through the music as well, and how it just gets us ready for the week. Lord, I pray that that you would again open our hearts, open our ears, bring the words that you want for me to speak. And Lord, that it is your service and not mine or anyone else's. Lord, we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. This creation moment is one that was inspired by our trip. But we didn't see any of these creatures. On land, an animal the size of the blue whale would be crushed by its own weight without the support of the large, heavy bones. Because its body is supported by water, as a sea animal, the need for heavy bones to support its weight is not needed. Plus, the availability of a large food supply made it possible for the blue whale to reach such enormous size. The blue whale makes deep rumbling sounds, which can be felt as much as heard. These low-frequency sounds travel long distances through water, allowing the blue whale to communicate with each other over hundreds of miles. If most people had to guess the largest animal that ever existed, they would probably name some long extinct creature like the mammoth or a dinosaur. However, the largest creature isn't extinct, it is the blue whale. It can reach over 100 feet in length and weigh over 400,000 pounds. Not surprisingly, the blue whale also boasts the largest heart in the world. That is a replica, hopefully. It weighs up to 1,000 pounds. This is just the heart. The aorta attached to the supersized heart is big enough for a human child to crawl through, as you can see. It beats loud enough to be detected from 2 miles away. Its mouth is big enough to fit 100 people. Its arteries are so big that a basketball would float through them easily. The blue whale tongue alone can weigh as much as an elephant. The blue whale boasts of being the loudest creature on earth at 188 decibels. The loudest vocalizations can be heard hundreds of miles away. It's louder than a jet, which a jet's decibels are only 140 decibels. Human ears cringe at the sound of over 120 to 130 decibels. So a whale would deafen a human being. The blue whale is thought to feed almost exclusively on small shrimp-like creatures called krill. During the summer feeding season, the blue whale gorges itself, consuming an astounding 4 tons or more each day. This means it must eat up to 40 million krill a day. As a baleen whale, it has a series of 260 to 400 fringed overlapping plates hanging from each side of the upper jaw, where teeth might otherwise be located. These plates consist of fingernail-like material called keratin that frays out into fine hairs on the ends and inside the mouth near the tongue. The plates are black and measure about 20 inches in length toward the front of the mouth and about 40 inches at the rear. During feeding, large volumes of water and food can be taken in into the mouth because the pleated grooves in the throat expand. Now the mouth closes and water is expelled through the baleen plates and traps the food inside, near the tongue to be swallowed. When a baby, that's a baby there. Of course, the baby is about as big as a bus. But when they feed actually on milk that the mom has. But the babies drink about what's equivalent to a bathtub full each day. So they're not small eaters. You don't want them as a pet. It'd be a little bit too much. I'm completely amazed at God's creations in this way. There used to be in the hundreds of thousands of blue whales back in the older days until they began to hunt them for their oil. They produce about 120 barrels of oil, one blue whale. So they were hunting them quite extensively, and it got down to about 10,000 whales that they estimate. And so they made some rules and laws and outlawed hunting these whales. And so they're beginning to come back. But what an amazing creature. I think anyone that would be in a boat, I don't care how big the boat is, you'd be just floored if you saw that whale come up next to you, wouldn't you? I mean, it would, and the head, and I mean, just amazing. I'm never running out of creation moments. You know, that's what's so cool, is there's so much that God has made. And you know, evolutionists kind of, they say where they crawled into the water because, you know, they got too big for the land or whatever. I thought, well, you know, if evolution was true, then why not just stay small? Right? You know, just stay small so you can stay on the land. Then you don't have to eat as much either. You know, but God in His wisdom knew that the oceans would be teeming with life and there had to be a balance. Just imagine if these whales did not eat 40 tons of krill a day. How many krill there would be washing up on the shores. So, you know, it's just amazing the balance of nature that God, in His wisdom, amazing. Well, you know, as we go into the scriptures this morning, you know, I've done, you know, we've all been inundated with the things of life. You know, most of us just go through life trying to make a living, trying to make ends meet. You know, that's what we do. I mean, we're working to pay the bills. We have houses to maintain. You know, it seems like when summer comes, you know, we just hit all the maintenance things and we're just working for winter. You know, because winter's coming, so we better get it all done. And we got, you know, paint, we got mowing lawns, we've got, you know, cars to fix, make sure they run okay. We got pets to take care of, some of us have pets, some of us have kids to take care of. And then there's the school activities. We had one child. I don't know how we did it with one. And some of you had multiple, you know, 3, 4 kids, you know, and all the school activities. And you want to go to all of them. And then there's work in between that. And on goes the list. It seems that there's no end of things that have to be done. We think on the run. We got to be quick. There's no time to pull out manuals and look. That's why most guys don't pull out instructions when we build stuff. We don't have time. Till we build it wrong, then we have time to pull it apart again and look at the instructions. I did that one time. I was building something and I thought, yeah, I got this. Oh, and then I had this piece and I went, how does this piece get in there? So then I started reading the instructions and it said, before you put this part A to part B, make sure you put part C in. So I had to take it all apart, put that and do it the right order. So we always have time to do it again, but never time to do it right the first time. That seems to be the guy's way, right? Man's law. You know, and same thing with driving. You know, you're driving, and you go, I know, I'm not going to stop for instructions or, you know, directions, whatever, and you drive, and then it's like, man, something's wrong.
And you finally pull in and get instructions. They say, yeah, that's about 10 miles back. The way you came. You go, oh, I lost all that time. Yeah, and just ask the first place, right? But guys can't do that. We don't want to do it. We don't have time to look at those things. And you know, we get so much in the trouble. I get people come to me and they come for advice, which is good. I don't mind that. And they ask, what does the Bible say? We all have Bibles. Some of us have more than one at home. We don't know what it says. You know, we kind of get so busy we don't go to the thing that really would help us the most in the Bible. I want us to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, 18:13 in your Bible, 18:13. 2 Timothy chapter 3. This scripture says, all scripture. In fact, I want to back up. Let's back up to verse 14, just to catch a little bit of context. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those whom from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So all Scripture is important. All Scripture is of great value because it's God-breathed. And it's good for teaching and rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so we can be equipped to do the good works, to do the right things. It has the answers. All the answers of life are here in the Bible. You know, Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so in there, it tells us it's of value because it shows us the way. We can find all the answers because it guides us into all truth. You know, we see a lot of turmoil in the world, and right now, it's really crazy, isn't it? I mean, you know, it's not just the people that are running out and shooting other people, but right now we've got this political arena going, and it's. It seems to be flooding, other than the horrific things that happen, it's flooding our airwaves, it's flooding the TVs and radios, etc. And all kinds of politicians out there looking for support. In fact, it's amazing to me, it's the most I've ever seen. Most people don't want to be president, but it's like all of a sudden all these guys want to be president. I don't understand that. But, you know, who do you support? Who do you vote for? What are the issues that are right and what are the issues that are wrong? The Bible has the answer. Now, it may not have exact names. It may not tell you about a candidate. And it may not tell you about certain ways, but it gives you the wisdom and the truth. You know, it doesn't say, the Bible isn't Republican, it's not Democrat. It's not independent. The Bible is the Bible. But as we look at all the candidates, as we look at what they have to say, and as we look at their actions and everything else, we realize we don't want to vote for any of them. Sorry. But we'll have to find ourselves something that we can cling on to. You know, it doesn't tell us a lot about immigration or building walls or you know, how we should treat international or if we should make a deal with Iran or not. It doesn't tell us that exactly. But it does tell us the things as we read it, as we study it. The Bible gives us wisdom. It gives us training. Just like 2 Timothy says, all Scripture is God-breathed, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's not necessarily that we should be setting up our home to a certain point where we never want to leave here, because really this is not our home. This world is a place we pass through to heaven. You know, I've talked a lot about point A and point B, and that's really what it is. It's point B, our final destination. But while we're here in this world, Jesus even prayed in John 17, you know, that we should be in the world, but not of the world. And yet, we have to live here, making ends meet, paying the bills, voting, listening to the news and all the crazy things that go on. James chapter 1, 1839 in your pew Bibles, James chapter 1. 1839 in your pew Bibles, starting at verse 5, James tells us this. I'll let you get there for a sec. 1839, James chapter 1, starting at verse 5, it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He's double-minded, unstable in all he does." You ever feel like that? You know, like, man, I don't know which way to go. I don't know which way I'm. It tells us right here. The Bible tells us, if you lack wisdom, if you want to know about something, if you want to find out what to do in a particular instance, and I'm talking about kids as well as adults. You know, in high school, you got a lot of things going on. In college, you got a lot of things going on. In elementary school, you got a lot of things going on. If you lack wisdom, if you want to know what to do in a particular situation, ask God. Ask Him. It says if you lack wisdom, ask. You know, what's really cool is that it says, who gives generously. God gives generously to all without finding fault. God's not prejudiced. You know, there's all that talk all around the nation about racism. And God is not. He gives to anyone who asks. Freely and generously He gives. If you need wisdom, ask Him. But don't doubt. Don't say, well, I hope He gives it to me. It said He will, generously. And then you have this wisdom. But you know, that wisdom comes with knowing the Bible as well. We need to study it. In fact, go to 2 Timothy again. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, 18:12 in your Bible. 18:12. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Now, the King James in this particular instance, I like better. Because it says, study to show yourself approved. You know, the NIV says, do your best to present yourself to God. Well, it kind of means the same thing, but, you know, I like study because we need to study His Word. It says here, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. Correctly handles the word of truth. Why? To avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. In other words, we shouldn't be involved in all the trivial things that go on in this world. We should be concerned with God's Word. Now, I'm not saying that you can't read a novel once in a while or watch a documentary, but you know, I pointed out last night, I said, you know, a lot of these guys, they spend their whole lives looking for Sasquatch, trying to find UFOs. And how is that going to work for you when you stand before God and He says, why should I let you into heaven? Well, you know, I devoted my whole life to finding Sasquatch. Never did find him, but I thought it was a worthy cause. And God's going to say, a worthy cause? How explain that to me. How is it a worthy cause? You know, it's like Satan has this thing out there. Hey, there's Sasquatch, there's Yeti, there's the abominable snowman, and maybe somebody sees something and they think it's this or think it's that or whatever, but it's just so funny that they go out there and they never find anything. They can find all sorts of other animals, but they never find him. And I think if I was out in the parking lot, wouldn't you think I was a little bit crazy if I stood out in the parking lot and I went, woo, 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 woo? Wouldn't you think you'd go, oh boy, he's gone over the edge. The ministry's gotten to him now. Call up the guys from the hospital, have them taken away. Because you'd say, you're crazy. That's exactly what's going on. I watch these programs sometimes, you know, you flip around the channel, you have nothing to watch, and you run across the one and they're looking, searching for Sasquatch. And these guys got a campfire and they're all around talking stories and, you know, I thought I saw him the other night and I heard something I never could recognize. And so then they're out there and they say, okay, now it's time, and they all gather around together and they're whooping and banging stuff and saying, yeah, that's what he makes the sound of. And go, how do you know? You know, did he tell you that? Were you right there with him? You know, none of them know. None of them know, and yet they sit there and make it sound like they know what they're talking about. You know, they come up with the hair samples, and then they say, well, that's bear. The manual of life is the Bible. The guide that we should follow in all areas of life is the Bible. It says, do your best, study to show yourself approved, to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who doesn't need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. You know, one who when someone comes up and says, what does the Bible say about this? Or what should I do if I'm faced with this situation? Or where should I go? Is it okay to go into a bar as long as I don't drink? And then we're like, I don't know. Yeah, we do know. The Bible tells us. Avoid the appearance of evil. Ooh. Well, gee, maybe that told me I shouldn't go in there. Because it doesn't look good. Well, I got my freedoms, and I can do whatever I want to do. Yeah, yeah, you're right. The Bible tells us we do have our freedom. We can do whatever we want to, but not everything is good. Not everything is right. And we shouldn't be mastered, made a slave to anything. You know, that talks about addiction. It doesn't tell us, oh, don't smoke, don't drink, don't, you know, but it tells us, don't be addicted. It gives us wisdom. And then the question is, well, yeah, but it says that, but how do I do it? It tells us that too. Don't be anxious about anything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, give all your requests to God. He'll guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So, the manual of life is the Bible. It should always be by our side. You know, I shared this last night. Pony Express riders, you know them, back in the day, you know, back in the old days, they used to ride cross country, you know, from the east to the west, delivering mail, and then back again, right? And they would ride these horses really hard. They would ride them as fast as they could to the Pony Express station. And each station was split at different intervals across the country. And they'd ride to that station, and then they'd get off the horse, they'd change their saddlebag to the next horse, and they'd ride that like, you know, gangbuster. They'd slap the horse, come on, yeah, yeah! And they'd ride it fast.
You know, they had to conserve weight. They watched the guys that were riding them because they didn't want the horse to carry too much weight. They didn't want a lot of mail. They had real thin paper. They cost a lot of money to send mail across the country that way. But you know what they were required to carry? All Pony Express riders were required to carry in their saddlebags a Bible. Yeah. That was required. The Pony Express company told them, you're carrying this Bible. But that's a lot of weight. Nope. Doesn't matter. That's important. That's how important the Bible was to them. How important is the Bible to us, to you, to me? It should be something that's by our side, or at least close by, at all times. It should be something that we're reading constantly, every day. It doesn't mean you have to immerse and read it 24 hours a day, but whenever, you know, when you have a moment, read something out of the Bible. Read out of Proverbs. Read out of Psalms. You know, we're doing that at night. And, you know, there's times you can read the Bible. You've got the Bible, for heaven's sake, now on our phones. I got one here. It's really great. And it's free. Bible Gateway. You can search things. It's just the greatest tool. And anytime, you just pull that out, boing, and you can read the Bible. They even have reading plans that you can follow. It's our manual for living our lives. It's your manual, parents, in raising your children. Do you know that? It's your manual in job, in working a job. It's your manual in running a business. It's your manual in all areas of life. We need to use it and not get so busy that we, another time. I'll get to it later. You know, it's still there. And the dust builds up. Let's start using our manual of life. And I'd like us to close with our final song. It's going to be up on the screen.